The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. If this show is screwed up at all, it's his fault, not mine. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate Jeff Mishi and their ongoing support. Now, in all seriousness, Jared is the Iron Man. He is there. I'm on the other side of him. We have each other's backs. We have a great show planned. Drew Maggi is going to be with us. From Brophy Prep to Arizona State to bumping around buses for a long, long time. When I saw this story over the weekend, it was like, good for him. 13 years of being a minor leaguer, and he's from here in the Valley, so I tracked him down. Producer Steve found him. And Brophy Prep and ASU all the way back in 2008. I was still doing TV. I still had hair when this guy started. So we're going to chop it up with Drew. That comes up at about 10:20. He has been called up to the Pirates. The Diamondbacks and Pirates. Arizona goes to Pittsburgh in May. And then the Buccos come out here. And I'm hoping, you know, it's not a given for any of these guys, but hoping that, and I'm going to talk to him about it, that, you know, he's succeeding, doing well, and is here in Arizona in July. He's going to get a lot of people asking for tickets. I know that much. So we have Drew coming up, and then we have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things around Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was the story of the weekend outside of the Suns. I'll get to them in a minute. So Wilner and I are going to chop it up about Deion and the impact there in Colorado. They sold out their spring game, 40,000 people, and it was snowing, and they charged them $10 a head, and they sold out. And then he had five players enter the portal. It's just so great. It doesn't matter what school, really. I mean, unless you're UCLA basketball, you know, you go over the basketball side, Cambridge goes to Oregon. Guys, Carissa goes to West Virginia. So it's just the way it is now.
It's not the way it used to be. I'm not going to watch that sports stuff anymore. Those guys aren't loyal. And
there are some. I did a cool event Saturday. I was asked to MC the National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun Chapter Scholar Banquet. It was great. There's kids up on stage. There's a player that received a scholarship, and he's in Wilcox. He's in a tux from Wilcox. You know where Wilcox is here in here? I'll tell you, it's southeast, like a long, dang long way. He had to leave his house at 7:30 a.m. We had kids that were coming up to me we have this intermission break because they're sitting on stage. There's all these scholarships. There's distinguished Arizonans, Ron Wolfley, Sean Aguano. It was all great stuff, but I've done this event long enough to know that when kids are in tuxes and they're starting to do this, it means they've got to go. And when you got to go, we have to have a break. So I had like, I don't know, six kids. It's prom. There's a kid from Prescott. Kid from Prescott. Mr. Sessmatt, his mom's there. He's like, we're so sorry, but we have prom. We don't know what to do. Get out. Go. Leave. Scram. Go to prom. You're all dressed up. Wear the tux that the NFF provided for you. So it was a tremendous event. Tremendous event. And to see Sean Aguano get a little choked up. Ron Wolfley had his son with him. Better. It was cool. So we had a good weekend all the way around. Let's get into some sports stuff, and that would be the Suns. The Suns are the story here in the Valley today. They should take care of business without Kawhi Leonard, without Paul George. Will Kawhi try to make a Superman come out of the tunnel tomorrow night? The Suns are just doing what they're supposed to do. I'm really not going to sit here and break it down any more than that. They're doing what they're supposed to do. This is to be expected. The team they're playing doesn't have two of their best players. Two of their star players. Star players for the Suns are producing. It's just not that hard. Okay? The other side of it, I was watching Denver, Minnesota last night. Man, Minnesota's just not a smart team. They're not. Like, they just tried to give away that series, went in overtime. They finally were able to get the victory. But, geez, oh, man, and that should be what we start looking at now here in the Valley. Yeah, I'm going to be that guy. Suns can, you should never look ahead. The Clippers can go back and win three. They're not going to come back and win three in a row. Famous last words. So you start looking ahead to Denver. Minnesota's not going to beat Denver three straight. Now the Kings and Warriors, that's a different story. That's a hell of a series. It's great stuff. But for the Suns, I'm watching Denver and legit, obviously. Number one seed. Got to go to Denver to open up. Get this taken care of tomorrow night. The playoffs are all about less is more. You're going to roll 40 on Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton and Kevin Durant. You're going to roll 40 on those guys? You can't do it. Can't do it. Not if you're going to try to win 15 games. You got to just find your spaces and eliminate teams. Get on top of them. Put the foot on the neck and push down and just take care of it. You can hate Russell Westbrook all you want if you're here in Phoenix. I'd take Russell Westbrook on my team all day long. He is so much fun to watch on both ends. And he's in his 30s and he's still killing it and crushing it. You may not like him. Whatever your problem is, me, I'll take him on my team. He's been fun to watch. Tremendous player. So much energy. So much enthusiasm. Some people don't like him. Don't like Russ is this. Russ, I don't know Russell Westbrook. All I know is as a player, definitely take him on my team. But there's no reason for the Suns to not just jump all over the Clippers tomorrow night and say enough of this nonsense. And let's lighten the load on minutes. And then let's have a few days off before meeting Denver. That's it. That's it. I'm not chasing clicks. I'm not going to sit here and just go break it down all day long. Not much to break down. Clippers don't have the two best players. Suns should take care of business, eliminate them, and move on to Denver. That's it. I don't like how the NBA really wants the Lakers to do well. I'm not one of those that sits there and gets all wound up when a certain official comes walking out of the tunnel. But man, the Lakers have only played three games in their playoff series. They play again tonight against Memphis. And I know they want the LA market. I know they want the prime time slot and all that stuff. That's just, but it ends up benefiting them. It does. Extra rest, biggest platforms, make sure everybody sees what they're about. I don't like it. I like watching LeBron James play. I don't think this is the greatest Lakers team ever. But how is it that they're just now getting to game four and they've already had a couple days off and they've just kind of spaced it out? And I don't like it. Deion Sanders. I'll get into this with Wilner coming up later on in the show. The college space, and we do a lot of college here. That's just what I've looked at. It's like, let's be local, local, local. Let's do college, high school, pro. Let's do pro, college, high school, depending on what the flavor of the day is, what I'm seeing around town. Let's not be afraid to talk about high school. Let's not be afraid to talk about colleges. Some places are like, oh, well, you're only talking about the pros. Knock yourself out. Lots of places to go to. And let's not just stick to Arizona. This is not going to be beep, beep, everything's great. That's not me. We're not honking the horn for any team in the state. Never have, never will. When things are bad, they're bad. Got to have credibility. No credibility when things are really bad in football like they were. And, oh, it's all great. No, that's just the wrong place for you. Even at Colorado. You know, so Deion loses one of his top players who showed well on Saturday, goes in the portal the next day. Kind of an eyebrow raiser to me. The business side of it, you know, they're paying Deion, I think it's $5 million. He's already gotten much, much more brought into the Colorado Buffalo program and the whole, not just the athletic department, the whole university with the amount of buzz that he's created. They had 90 plus people asking for credentials to go cover this in media. Now, media's changed. Anybody with a website, it feels like, can get a cred and show up on a sideline. Anybody who says that they're a fan of this or a fan of that can get in. College students are everywhere. They're all over the place. So I don't know about the number, but in terms of the national media or people that have been there and not just to take a selfie and say, look at me, I'm cool, I'm on a field, 90 plus. That's something. And here's the other part of it. And some people are not going to like this here in town. This is a fact. When Colorado comes here and they play Arizona State, because U of A is going to Colorado, and that game will be sold out. It will be. Doesn't matter what U of A is. They're all up there to see the Deion show. Okay? But what I'm seeing now and hearing from my friends that are up in that area, I have family that's up there now, my son's up there, what I'm hearing is, yeah, there's a lot of buzz. And when CU comes here, I can totally see Buffalo fans taking over stadiums that are empty or half empty or a quarter empty. I can totally see this Dion thing morphing into much bigger, which will be a benefit to some of these schools. Like if Arizona State is playing, when Arizona State plays Colorado this year here, there's not a chance that game would sell out if it was former administration at Colorado. And even with Kenny Dillingham, there's not a chance that they're going to sell games out early. In this town, you win, they'll show if you win consistently, not, hey, we're 3-0. That's still not going to move the needle in this town. It'll move it some. But in this town, you're 5-0, 6-0. Yep, that's what it is. Want to call us front runners? Knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. But you're going head-to-head with the NFL, and you're going head-to-head with college, or the Major League Baseball. You're going head-to-head with the Star of the Suns, Coyotes, all the stuff that goes on here. Up there, yeah, you have the Avs, and you have the Broncos, and you have the Rockies. It's like us. It's all the majors. They're there. However, College Town is a ways away, Boulder. They brought in a lightning rod. There have been some that said to me, if Arizona State really wanted to move the needle, they should have hired Deion Sanders. And it's a fair, this was back last, I don't know, when it was really apparent that things weren't going well. I feel like if they had gone after Deion rather than Kenny, and I don't know if they ever lobbed a call. I don't know that stuff. I just know that Kenny Dillingham is the right fit for here in Tempe off the field. I can't tell you, and he can't tell you, and none of the staff can tell you if this is going to work because they haven't coached together. They haven't had a game yet. You have the youngest coach within the conference, right? And he's got assistants all older than him. Are they going to listen? I don't know. The other side is you have Deion Sanders. It's a lot of show right now, a lot of show. So early, when Colorado plays TCU to open the season, the fact they even know that is where my head is. When we go to Las Vegas, and we're going to be in Las Vegas in July for Pac-12 Football Media Day, it'll be a circus like we've never seen around this conference. Lincoln Riley, USC, oh my gosh, no. This will be times 10. Well, they had Caleb Williams. So what? Now he's a Heisman winner, but Deion Sanders is there. Like the star power coming into the Pac-12 this coming season will be great. It will be great. It will be fabulous. But I can see games where the CU fans, if they get off to a decent start, that program has been a train wreck. Like the worst program of the entire Pac-12. And now they have somebody there that's a lightning rod. Sell out your stadium, $10 a head, walk on in. Anybody who's going to poo-poo that, I'm thinking you're getting a paycheck from another university. That's what I'm thinking, if that's what you're going to do. So there's that. The Coyotes and their vote, because I've had both sides hammer me about, you know, you got to start doing more on this. No, I don't. I'll do it when I darn well feel like it. There's a lot going on, and I don't want to have, well, we have to refute their claim. Well, we have to refute their claim. And I could turn this into that. There's other stuff that's a little bit more interesting, and as it gets closer, I'll put on some people that I've seen in the Valley. It's like, that's a voice that I know does not have an agenda, and that's a voice that we probably need to hear from because I don't care. Well, what do you mean? Don't you want the Coyotes to stay? You know how many times we've done this dog and pony show about the Coyotes staying in votes? Doesn't mean I don't want the thing to work out for them if it's in the best interest of the community, but there's always what's behind door number 4 when it comes to that organization. I'm not overstating it. It's a fact. Got to earn it. You can't just say, well, you know, what are we going to do without this entertainment district? What are we going to do without the hockey team? I've heard that over and, you know, Phoenix is trying to torpedo Tempe again. Yeah, that's been happening for a long time. I'm going to get into that as the week progresses. And of course, most notably, it is NFL draft week. Our hometown heroes on the gridiron have the 3rd overall pick. I saw where Daniel Jeremiah did his pre-draft thing last week, and he said the Cardinals have the worst roster in the NFL. Peter King on last week. Peter said the Cardinals have one of the, if not the worst roster in the NFL. All the stuff that's swirling around with Michael. and Terry McDonough, and just like, can we just have an off season? Oh my gosh, where it's just football in this town. Can we just have that? So you have a new GM and you have a new head coach, and all they can say is, hey man, our backs are against the wall. Nobody's expecting us to do anything. We're going to go out. We're going to kick ass, take names, and prove everybody wrong. That's all they can say. There can't be any, I can't believe you're not being more positive about us. What? 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 You hearing yourselves? They deserve every last bit of getting hammered that they're getting in this town. They do. There's a lot of media stuff going on, and then I'll take a break. There's a lot of media stuff going on. You're going to hear and read about layoffs at ESPN today. It already started. Fox News said, Tucker Carlson, thank you for playing. They punched his ticket this morning. CNN said, well, you know what? We need to cut salaries too. So Don Lemon was shown the door. The head of ESPN for 43 years, Mike Soltis, who's been there 43 years. Thank you for playing. You make too much money. Get out. So some interesting stuff going on in media today too, and we like to address that. Drew Maggi's on the other side. We're going to talk with Drew about being called up, finally, the Brophy Prep ASU alum in 13 years bumping around on buses. I want to know the worst hotel he's stayed in over the last 13 years. If he can name all the spots of where he's been. We'll have that next, and then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, this story is so cool. I was telling Drew off the air, Drew Maggi with us for a couple of minutes, because I remember the skinny little kid at Brophy when I was at Channel 3, and then the kid goes over, he's still skinny, over at ASU, and now look at him. He's all grown up, and you're now in the big leagues. The story has made national, worldwide headlines over your journey. A Valley kid making good. I just appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes. What a whirlwind.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm still skinny. Yeah, I put on a little weight. But yeah, but it feels good, man. The last 24 hours has been crazy. Like, I didn't expect this. So, you know, everyone that shouted me out, you know, very thankful to the Pirates. This is, you know, a dream come true for me.
You know, everybody out here is so geeked up for you. It's wherever I go. Can you imagine Drew Maggi finally made it? He finally made it. He finally made it. Like, did you have that, when am I ever going to make it moment?
I mean, yeah. I mean, definitely over the last 13 years, it kind of like progressively, like as I went on, it was more, okay, let's just try to play as long as I can.
Yeah.
Versus make it. And then, you know, then I got the call up to the Twins, and then that kind of re-energized me. I was like, all right, you know, now I got a little bit of show time. I didn't play, but so that kind of resurrected my career. And then, you know, I can't even describe some of the thoughts that have gone through my head. They're, you know, just, you know, going back to Double A this year at 33. I mean, that was, it's kind of like, whoa, you know, especially a place that I was literally on Tuna 2012. So it's been, I mean, I didn't expect this. And then, yeah, it's the thoughts that have gone through my head over the past years have varied from, all right, just give it up, you know, go get a day job. We'll figure this out. We'll, you know, start a new life. And then, you know, there's always been something with, like, you know, a family member or friend kind of being like, nah, man, come on, you got this, keep going. Or something inside of me or something happens where I'm like, all right, you know, I got a shot here. This is looking promising. So it's just been an up and down game.
How did Brophy and Arizona State prepare you for what's gone on the last 13 years?
I'm still friends, like best friends with a lot of guys from Brophy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that high school group, like, you know, Nick Nudo, who's, you know, blowing up my phone. I mean, he's he's been one of my best supporters, like, throughout my entire career. He's a big Chicago Bears fan. So my career is kind of like, you know, he loves it. So, you know, Brophy just, you know, especially playing football, had a bunch of great coaches there. Mm-hmm. And then moving on to ASU with, you know, Pat Murphy, who's, you know, with the Brewers, been in pro ball all this time. So, I mean, I was kind of groomed with like good coaching and very fortunate to have good coaches, you know, throughout my career that kind of, you know, instilled like a never give up, you know, there's always a chance, you know, because when I went to ASU, there was, you know, I was competing with six other shortstops. Mm-hmm. So to win that job my freshman year, you know, it was kind of like a confidence builder of like, okay, you know, maybe baseball is your, you know, your journey and your like, you know, your path to life. So
if I were to ask you, Drew, to just rattle off all the stops that you've been at over the last 13 years, could you even do it? Just when I said chat, can you be like, Brad, I was here and then I went to here and then I went to here and then I went to here. Could you do that? Can you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I started off in West Virginia or State College, Pennsylvania. So I started out here. Then I went to West Virginia. Then I went to Altoona. I was there for 3 years. Then the next year I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Then I was in Tulsa with the Drillers and Double A with the Dodgers. And then I was in OKC. And I was in Columbus. And I was in Rochester, New York. Then I was at the alternate site in Minnesota. I was in St. Paul. Then I was in St. Paul the next year. Then I went up to Toronto, made my debut. Next year, I was with the Phillies in Lehigh Valley. And then got traded over to Indianapolis. I got traded over to the Pirates last year. Was in Indianapolis. And then came into big league camp this year. Started off in Altoona. And now I'm here. So... I mean, that was a quick little rattle off, but
good. No, it's good. I mean, you have a lot of stickers. You've been on a lot of buses. I don't know the dumpiest hotel you stayed in. Where was it?
Oh, I mean, all of them. I mean, the list goes on there. I mean, there's been a lot of looking out the window like, hey, what are you doing? You know? Where are you? What city is this? But I mean, it's all been worth it. You know, I've always had a lot of fun, you know, and a lot of it that's carried me through, to be honest, is, you know, teammates and friends, family, you know, the journey was hard. And I know there's a lot of other things that, you know, life is just hard, you know, people, you know, daily jobs in general, but, you know, for me, you know, being in some city that, you know, I'd never heard of growing up in the middle of nowhere playing in front of, you know, 200 people on some nights, you know, it's 30 degrees, we got rain, you're trying to gear up for a game. And so, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, thinking back and what's so great about, you know, this past 24 hours is it's really allowed me to kind of look back on my career and, you know, all the places like I just rattled off and all the memories. And, you know, I've been getting flooded with text messages from old teammates and, you know, my friends and, you know, Grass Clippings, these are my guys. They've been posting about me and they're a big golf company out in Arizona. So it's just kind of, you know, it's taken me back to, you know, square one, day one. And it's been emotional to think about and, you know, kind of great in a way, you know, it's, you know, people that know me, this is kind of fitting, you know, I could have debuted 10 years ago and, you know, then I'm just some rich baseball player, but, you know, my journey is, you know, is meant to be, it feels right. Like I, for once in this whole baseball thing, it's like I feel like I'm in the right spot.
Yeah. When I saw the news, I was like, good for him. You know, that was my first thought, is good for Drew, you know, to just see the journey and see the grind and all that. And I don't know if you had any idea that this was even coming. The clubhouse video has been sent out. Everybody has been seeing it. Did you have any idea when you were sitting in that meeting that that was going to be the end result? Did you have an inkling? I might actually get called up. Do you have any idea?
No. I mean, I went into camp. I went into spring with just, you know, the Pirates talked to me before the year and were kind of like, hey, man, we love you as a clubhouse guy. You know, you come in, you build culture. And so that's kind of what my expectations were kind of coming into the season. So I came in, I had a pretty good spring, and, you know, they sent me to Altoona, and I, you know, for me, I was just like, you know, I'm still playing. And I went to Altoona and I was like, all right, I'm just going to grind this out day to day. It was, I mean, it was hard. It was, you know, I'm 33 in Double A, and every day I was just kind of like, all right, just keep going, put your head down, get your work in, you know. But the big leagues was never this, everything that's happened in the last 24 hours was never, not even close to my thought process. Like, I can't even believe how quickly this all happened. And, you know, they always said like snap of the fingers and, you know, you're in the show. And I, you know, after a while I was like, all right, you know, whoever, relax. But it's true.
You'll take on the Dodgers. And there's some video of you walking into the clubhouse and seeing the number 39 in the locker and just the awe. You had this look on your face of like, holy bleep. That's about all that it was coming to me looking at you.
Yeah. I mean, the whole experience was just, I mean, it was overwhelming. I was walking into the locker room, seeing my number, my name, you know, my parents were on the way. It was just, it was one thing after another of like, you know, I'd be okay, I'd be fine. And then, you know, a moment like that would happen, or, you know, like even the guy coming to pick me up to go to the show, you know, it was like just one thing after another. I was just like, then we went out on the field and we took ground balls yesterday, and I was just looking up, like every second was just a reminder of just, you know, the journey and my past and where I've been. And I mean, it was a lot of breakdown, a lot of emotion. And, you know, I'm happy here, but, you know, I'm ready to, you know, kind of show what I can do as well.
Yeah. Do enough of these interviews. You're like, okay, guys, got it. I just want to play. Okay. Guys, yeah. It's all this.
That pitch.
Yeah. That's it. It's the hometown sportscaster who's calling to check in with you. All right. July 7th, 8th, and 9th, Chase Field. You're just happy here on April 24th to be there, but have you looked ahead to when you're coming back here to Arizona?
No, okay. I haven't, but
I just filled you in on it. July 7th, 8th, and 9th, and the Diamondbacks are there next month. They come.
That would, that'd be electric. Yeah. That would, I mean, that would be just another emotional type situation, you know, playing in my hometown. I can only imagine who would want to come. And
I need tickets. Hey, Drew, I need tickets. The list will be long. Dude, yeah. We were in math class together at ASU. We were in biology over at Brophy. Hey, man, can you hook me up?
That's well, the thing is I want to, you know, because there's been, you know, over the 13 years, I mean, my brothers, you know, Joseph, Christian, Dane, Bo, like all my friends, like, you know, people along the way, people that I've golfed with in Arizona, you know, everyone's been very supportive in a weird way, kind of toward me, you know, continuing my journey. And so, you know, if I went to Arizona and I was, you know, given the opportunity to play, I mean, I would want the world there. So that would just mean a lot to me. It's, you know, it's not just me. You know, I feel like I'm doing this for a lot of people. There's people behind me. The support system is just so, yeah, I would want everyone there.
That's so cool. That's so cool. All right. You're going to get tee times, I would guess, when you get out here.
I hope, man. I love golf.
Have you gone into golf? I mean, when you're sitting, you're bumping around on a bus and you're like, what am I doing here? What were you thinking about transitioning into out of baseball? Was it golf? Because you talked about golf a couple of times.
I play both ways. So that kind of tells you. I play to the level of my opponent. You know what I mean? Like, we got action on the golf course. I'm probably going to shoot one better than you.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, thinking about, you know, different careers throughout my journey, just because, you know, life's hard. You know, you don't make a lot of money in the minor leagues. So, you know, and I'm a single 33-year-old, you know, I want a family. So I was thinking about other careers where I can make some money and, you know, kind of enjoy life as well. So, you know, I've done some things throughout the years too. You know, I bartended for a little bit with my brother Bo, who's actually sitting right here.
That's cool.
And then, you know, this past off season, I worked at Orange Theory. So, you know, just kind of, you know, putting my feet, you know, I've always thought, you know, maybe I would manage one day, you know, don't know what level, but, you know, I love baseball. So I think that baseball is probably on the list for, you know, what I do next.
That's great. I'll let you go off that. Go be with your brother. Enough talking to media guys. Get out on the field. Enjoy yourself. We're just going to sit out here in Arizona and say, I remember when and I remember now. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
If it's Monday, that means John Wilner is across from me. And that means for all of you, you need to go to Wilner Hotline, follow him over on social, on Twitter. And of course, his content's on the website at sports360az.com. You can hear him every week, the Canzano Wilner podcast. Great content, deep dives into the Pac-12. We don't know what the Pac-12 will look like a year from now, but we just know that John is there and delivers every week. All right. Colorado, what were your takeaways from Dion's weekend? What struck you most about all of that as they had their spring game?
Well, it really was all of that, right? I mean, football was secondary in a lot of regards. I felt like it was a show. It was the Dion show. We saw Dion in his hat. We saw Dion with the 98-year-old woman super fan with the kickoff. We saw Dion and the band and the crowd. It was Dion, and that's what Colorado needed, right? It was a marketing event for the school and the football program more than it was, you know, an actual competitive football event in which we can draw conclusions about next season. But that's why you hire Dion, and that's why it was such a spectacular hire. He has elevated the profile of Colorado football, Colorado athletics, and Colorado the university. People are getting exposed to the Buffaloes who haven't in, you know, 20, 30 years. That's the brilliance behind it. So we'll see. Now, in terms of football, I mean, it's hard to tell. They look pretty good. The offense looked pretty good. Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good. But that defense that he's going against is full of walk-ons and, you know, second teamers. We don't know. They've got a huge issue with depth and a huge issue with talent on the lines of scrimmage. And that's why, for all the pomp and circumstance, 5-7, 6-6 is probably their high watermark, right? He needs another offseason cycle or two to rebuild the roster to the point where it could actually be competitive in the conference for, you know, for a championship or a top tier finish. But that's all beside the point. It was just about the show.
Yeah. John, it was the only spring game shown on ESPN.
Yep.
John, the stadium was sold out.
Yep.
John, they charged $10 a head.
Yep.
I mean, and then, okay, I'll go the other direction. One of his star receivers goes in the portal 24 hours after it's all said and done. So this is not, I'm with you on all of the hype. It's great for the conference in terms of elevating the profile for now. I can totally see when the Buffaloes come here to Arizona to play ASU, the stadium being about 50-50. I can totally see where Dion's going to get people so jacked up.
Yep.
Was that they opened with TCU, right? I think it's TCU.
At TCU, and then they play Nebraska, their home opener.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally see road games being like when the Packers roll into town or the Cubs roll into town.
Right.
That the Buffaloes are going to pack opposing teams' fields with this guy if they get off and running.
That's the brilliance of the hire. It's a high risk. Well, I mean, the guy's coached, what, 2 seasons at Jackson State. That's the extent of his college coaching experience. It is a high risk hire with massive reward. The only spring game in the entire country this season, televised by ESPN, just like Lincoln Riley USC last year, the only spring game televised by ESPN. The hires are very similar, right? I mean, Riley obviously is a far more accomplished coach than Dion, but both were incredibly high profile candidates who have transformed the football programs and the athletic departments and the universities with their presence. And the spring games were just one piece of that. And I wonder to what extent are other Pac-12 presidents watching to see, hey, if I shell out the money for a big time coach, there's going to be a massive return on that investment.
Yeah, I would say tap the brakes. So here's the thing. It's not that I don't believe that Deion Sanders can win, because I do believe he can, because he can recruit. Okay.
Yep.
And it sounds like he's put together a staff that has some interesting parts to it. Brings in a coach from Kent State, wide open offense. You know, there's things there that he can sell. But when you fall in love with the big name and think that they could transfer from being player to head coach, you know, and I know in sports, you know, it could be Magic Johnson, it could be Michael Jordan, doesn't work. It could be Larry Bird. I'm using a lot of basketball examples of guys like, oh, they're great when they played, but they can't make it over on the coaching end.
Yes.
It feels to me like Deion can do that, because he gets that 60% of his gig probably is dealing with you and I, getting us talking about him more than it's his assistants have to go recruit and coach.
Right. Well, and he is, you know, his reputation at Jackson State was not as a micromanager. He is more the CEO type, and he has hired two very good coordinators at Colorado. I mean, his offensive guy, Sean Lewis from Kent State, is highly respected. So if Deion lets his staff do the coaching and he does the Deion thing, that's exactly what Colorado needs. I mean, I think he's making like $5 million a year. He's already paid for his first year salary, and they're still 6 months away from their first game, because Colorado's program was in the gutter, and now they are getting national publicity, big time recruits. To me, it is the return on investment's already there for year one.
I read where there were 90 plus credentialed media members there. Now, I don't know if they are all from fan websites, is becoming more or the norm. I don't know that. But I know that when I see you in person in Las Vegas the third week of July, because I know John Wilner will be at Pac-12 Media Day, and so will I can only imagine what it will look like when Deion walks through a casino in Vegas and up on stage, the amount of media that are going to want to have a piece of Deion Sanders. It will be unparalleled and unmatched for what this conference has seen.
It will be. It'll be a show. It'll be like, you know, those heavyweight fights where, you know, everybody wants to go be seen in Vegas. That is perfect for the Pac-12. I mean, I don't think it's going to have a Deion's presence is not going to have a material impact on the Pac-12's media rights, right? I mean, ESPN's not going to say, all right, we'll give each school $3 million a year more because Deion's in the conference. But it's one piece that raises the profile overall of the Pac-12. So there is an indirect impact on all the schools and on the conference's profile nationally. And they got to, you know, that media day, whatever it is, July 20th or something, is going to be a show. And that's great. Pac-12 doesn't have a show. The SEC's got a show. It's got a three-day media day in July in, I think it's in Birmingham at a hotel. And it's packed. Right, with fans. This is going to be a little bit like that for the Pac-12, and it's one more step along the way of this whole Deion circus, and we'll see how he does. But, you know, the bar is low for them competitively. They were 1-11. They were like the worst team in the Power 5 last year. So even if he goes 4-8, 5-7, it's a win on the field.
Yeah, and we're hyperventilating about it here.
It's great. I mean, it's like – it's a lot like the Lincoln Riley hire and what that did. It's just Deion's got this, you know, celebrity profile that he's bringing as well.
But you know this, that the SEC presidents and athletic directors, and I'll just say any other conference outside of the Pac-12, because Pac-12 is at the bottom of the Power Five, I would say, or right around. It's not the middle right now.
No.
If you're a conference, if you're in the Big Ten and you're thinking we need to inject some life, you're Indiana or whoever. He wins at Colorado, we're going after him because we see what he does.
Sure. Well, that's the interesting thing is there were plenty of coaching openings, especially in the Southeast this past winter, and those schools all passed on him. And Colorado took the chance, and I would say he wins. I mean, if they're 8-4 after year two, 7-5 after year two, he's going to get hired by somebody else with deeper pockets. There's no question. An SC school will come after him and offer him whatever he wants. And he's from, you know, he lived in Texas. He's from the South. I think he's from Florida. That's his roots. He's eventually going back there to a big time program if he wins. But you know what? Colorado is going to get 2 or 3 years out of him, and that's going to be great for them.
John Wilner with us for a few minutes. Yeah, I can't keep, I could gush over this for a whole segment, but I won't do it. What else is on your radar? What is it that you've seen here within the conference? Because there's some things like USC gets a big time transfer defensive lineman. You had the health scare of the athletic director of Oregon State. Get some bad stuff, some stuff that's news and notes on the field. On the basketball side, I mean, is there any football you want to get to before I get over to basketball?
No football. I mean, we should just hope Scott Barnes, the Oregon State athletic director, is okay, right? He had a major medical event Saturday night in Fresno. He was back in Fresno where he went to school accepting an award. He had a major medical event. He's in the hospital, just hoping he's okay.
Basketball. I saw Bobby Hurley at the spring game last week for State. He was there on the field. We had a very nice chat. He had a recruit in and was showing him around, took him from the practice facility to the football stadium, back to the practice facility, and drove by and pointed at the arena and said, that's where they play the games, by the way. They don't even bring him in. So, but Cambridge leaving ASU to go to Oregon, that raised your eyebrow at all?
A little bit. I didn't know that he was seriously thinking about Oregon, but that's the era we're in, where these guys are transferring within the conference, and you know, there's no penalties, there's no restrictions. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where a team has got more transfers from other Pac-12 schools than it's actually got, you know, players who it recruited. We're working towards that, but you know, ASU is ASU. They've got what, two guys have declared for the NBA draft. They got a bunch of guys in the portal. The whole rotation is going to be overhauled pretty much for next year. And that's kind of how Bobby Hurley's done it. He's not alone. Other schools do it, some more than others. But this is the era we're in, and this is the window we're in, right, for college basketball, this April-May period where there's a lot of uncertainty. Players had to declare for the NBA draft by yesterday. The transfer portal is open until May 13th. We're not going to know what these rosters look like in basketball, you know, till early June.
Right. But you look at over at UCLA, I'll use them as an example. I read where they have not had one player go into the portal. Now, that may have changed. They've had players that have declared for the draft and all that. What is it that they do at UCLA? Or is it just they're back to being UCLA if you're looking at the Pac-12? And you don't leave UCLA and all the other schools are just playing catch up. What do you see there?
Well, I see, you know, a lot of it's that, you know, first of all, they're recruiting a lot of guys that have NBA potential. So they're, you know, they got five who have declared for the draft. All five actually have eligibility left. I don't think they'll all come back, but a couple might. And, you know, they are very stable in terms of the transfer portal. The guys are either going to stay there because they know they're going to win and get a UCLA degree, or they go to the NBA. And that's kind of it's easier to attain that status where you're not losing a lot of guys to the portal if you're one of these blue blood programs and everybody's thinking Final Four, national title every year. You don't want to, you know, leave to go to another school that's got less chance to win a title.
It's good stuff there from you as always. I appreciate your time, your insights. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner. You can find him at Wilner Hotline on Twitter and his content on sports360az.com, where you watch us do our stuff. We're back with more after this timeout.